FYI, Mayor.
Yes.
This is Councilmember Cornegay.
Yes.
I have to look at the packet on my phone. I can't seem to figure. This is my first time using my actually iPad for this.
Okay.
Since I get updated, but I haven't quite figured out how to do both simultaneously without cutting you guys off, and I'm afraid I'm going to lose the meeting. So I'll just look at it from my phone.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bill, are we recording?
Yes.
Okay. So, this is Mayor Julia Johnson. It is July 22nd, and I'm going to call the City Council meeting to order. We will begin with roll call. Councilwoman Brenda Kinzer.
Present.
Councilwoman Jermaine Cornegay.
Here.
Councilman Brendan McGoffin.
Present.
Councilman Chuck Owens.
Here.
Councilman Glenn Allen. Okay, we know he's going to be calling in. Councilman Jared Couch.
He's showing as an attendee.
Say again, Dean?
He's showing as an attendee. He's not in the panelists.
Oh, okay.
And there he is.
Here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you. Good to hear you, Jared. And Councilman Carl DeYoung.
Present.
Okay. So we'll just wait for Mr. Allen. We'll, once he calls in and lets us know he's a part of this, we'll put that on the record. And speaking of the record, I want to clarify or at least add some clarification that at the last council meeting, July 8th, July 8th, Councilwoman Jermaine Cornegay had an excused absence that was not in the notes. And I think that's because we had that discussion that she was going to be calling in, but we never did the excused absence. But she was excused. So I'd like that to be put into the record. Okay, thank you. Moving on, looking for approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion?
Madam Mayor, make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilwoman Kinzer and seconded by Councilwoman Cornegay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, moving on to the consent agenda, items 1 through 5. Same method.
Madam Mayor, I move the agenda. Pardon me.
Go ahead.
Who are you recognizing, Mayor?
Go ahead, Councilwoman Cornegay.
There you go.
I'd like to make a motion to approve agenda items, consent agenda items 1 through 5.
Second.
All right. So we have a motion by Councilwoman Cornegay, seconded by Councilman DeYoung. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
And any opposed? Okay, so we will move into reports. And tonight I'm actually going to start it simply because, as you all may have heard, our councilwoman, Jermaine Cornegay, was appointed to the PUD board as the third district commissioner. And Jermaine, we want to celebrate you. This is a big accomplishment, a huge accomplishment. So if you'll bear with me, I just want to read a little bit of what PUD wrote in their letter. And then feel free when I'm done to share your thoughts. We'd like to hear what you have to say, okay?
Okay.
So, it says here that Jermaine Cornegay was selected as the new commissioner of District 3. This was posted on Friday, July 17th. Skagit PUD Board of the Commissioners unanimously selected Jermaine Cornegay to fill the unexpired 6-year term of its commissioner District 3 position during a special meeting held Thursday. Aaron Berg said of Councilwoman Cornegay, she is very active countywide and knows the Eastern side. She will make a great representative. Just a little further down, it says, as PUD commissioner, Cornegay says she hopes to continue the sense of comradeship and the commission and to be an advocate for the PUD as it fulfills its mission for delivering high quality water service at an affordable price to customers. Cornegay believes that the PUD is, quote, the best kept secret in the county, end quote, and educating people about the value of water is an important part of her new role as commissioner. George Sudeau, general manager, said, our staff looks forward to working with Councilwoman Cornegay and helping to bring her quickly up to speed on our operations over the next several months. So with a sad heart and immense respect, Jermaine, and on behalf of the City Council, we wish you great success as you move into your new position. And we look forward to working with you and the PUD board in the future. You're going to be missed, Jermaine. I'm going to miss you. And on behalf of the city, thank you very, very much for your service.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to say, and like I said in that, but to them, is I'm really going to miss the entire council and you, of course, Mayor Johnson, and the entire staff of Cedar Woolley. We have some amazing employees and, I mean, top notch. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, and I hear about it from everyone, including George, how amazing our staff is. And I just wanted to thank all of them for being amazing to me. And I'm also looking forward to doing this at the PUD Commission. I've already gotten quite a warm welcome. And of course, I'm going to stay super involved in Cedar Woolley because this is my home. And I'm going to be just as involved as I was before I became a council member. So you can count on me. And thank you so much. And I'm always here.
Oh, still thank you, my Jermaine.
Phone call. You're welcome.
So why don't you let us know? You're going to be sworn in soon. So
yeah, I'll be sworn in on August 11th. And so I let them know today that I would be doing my last council meeting on August 12th.
Okay.
And stepping down, resigning my seat. And so hopefully we can find someone good to take that seat. And looking forward to that as well. But I did let them know. So August 12th will be my last meeting, unfortunately, for you guys.
All right. Oh, Jermaine. So, we're going to begin that process. We'll probably begin at some time, maybe early next week. We'll be putting the information out on our website as far as what individuals will need to do if they're wanting to apply for the Ward 2 position. And if there's any questions, please feel free to contact either I or Doug Merriman, and we'll be happy to answer any questions. So, Jermaine, thank you again.
Thank you.
So I'll go ahead and finish my report since I'm here. I wanted to let everybody know that today I was with the other mayors out at the testing site out at Skagit Valley College, where we're doing the testing site for the COVID virus. That is an amazing facility, and what they're doing out there is extraordinary. In fact, it's so well ran that they have individuals who come from different counties, and even individuals who have come from out of country have come to the site to be tested. And they're seeing everything from children, especially young teenagers. They said teenagers come in groups, they come in cars and to be tested. But they're seeing everyone from children on up to the elderly showing up to be tested. On average, they're doing over 400 tests a day. Mondays are usually the craziest. I think I shared at the last council meeting that it was 599, almost 600 individuals that they had tested on that one particular Monday. So they're very engaged in doing a lot for the community. They will continue to do testing there up until we get a vaccine, and then it'll be a vaccine site. So anyway, they're looking for volunteers. If you know anybody who would like to volunteer, they have two shifts a day. I want to say, I think it's 11. I want to say maybe it's 11 to 1, and then from Oh no, it's, I think it's 9 to 1 and then 11:30 to 3 or 4, something like that. So, but you can contact the Skagit Health Department. They'll be able to give you the information if you want to, if you would like to volunteer. And it's a very safe site. So out of all the volunteers that they have had, no one has come down with COVID. And so seeing you, Chief Tucker, it makes me think they were very grateful. They extended their thanks and high praise to your team that's been there volunteering. So thank you for doing that. Great representation for Sejal Woolley and also a great support for the community. So thank you. Thank you, Chief Tucker. All right.
Excuse me, Mayor?
Yes.
I'm sorry. What did you say those hours were?
Oh gosh. I want to say there's two testing shifts, and I want to say one is like 9 to 1 and the other starts at 11:30. So there's a crossover because of lunch.
Oh, okay.
They'll feed you lunch.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then 11:30 to 3 or 4, I think it
okay.
is.
Okay. Thank you.
And they're not open on weekends. I know there's been a lot of questions about that. They're not open on weekends, just Monday through Friday.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. The last time that we met, I had asked if any of you were interested in having a discussion regarding the outdoor dining. I did bring that up at the Skagit County Health board, the SIT unit that we meet with the elected officials, and they really discouraged any city from doing that, because what they have found is that cities who are doing that, it's encouraging people to gather. So the concept, the idea is great, because you have this idea that people are going to be sitting at their tables, you know, 6 foot apart with their masks on, and but that's not what happens. People will see their friends, their cousins, or whoever, their grandmother. They get up, they move across the way, and suddenly you have people gathering in one spot. And so they do not want to see that happen. So we will not be exploring that any further. I did talk to a couple of businesses downtown, and they actually were not real pro on the idea simply because of the extra work of setting everything up. But anyways, but that has been more or less mixed by the Skagit County Health Board. Wanted to let you know that we received 3 retirements. The first one is our fire chief. I don't know if Dean, if you're going to make the announcement, but Dean Klinger is going to be retiring at the end of May of 2021. It's a much deserved retirement. He has led an extraordinary staff. He's been a great leader. He's been a great teacher. He's been a great mentor. We've had many, many individuals that have gone on to other fire departments, Seattle area, King County area, Pierce County. And you have to be of high quality to move on to those places. So we're going to be losing a great one, Dean. We're going to be losing you. And he has, not to leave us in the lurch, brought along Frank Wagoner, who's going to be an amazing chief as well. So that's our first retiree. The second one is Debbie Allen, and she's going to be retiring end of next month, actually the 21st. She's been with us 38 years. So she's going to be going. And then Cheryl Brew is also going to be leaving us December 31st. And I want to say Cheryl's been with us 15 years or 18 years. And so I apologize, Cheryl. I know I should know this because you have this in your letter. Anyway, extraordinary people that we have working with us. And I hate to see them go, but we'll be working at filling those positions. So in fact, we've already filled Debbie's position. The last thing is the COVID report. Since the last time, we have 67 new cases. We had 50 over the weekend, believe it or not. So 67 new cases. Total number of cases is 686. We haven't had any new deaths, even though the paper said that. It said that there were 17. It's still 16. There was an individual who did pass away who did have COVID, but that's not why this individual died. It was not related to COVID. So that was removed. So there's only 16 deaths. Total hospitalized are 70. And the total who have recovered are 483. So, you know, let's continue to do that social distancing. Let's continue to wear a mask. Let's continue to wash our hands. And let's continue to keep ourselves and other people safe by doing those things. So I see you're here, Glenn. I want, for the record, to acknowledge that Glenn Allen is on board. Hi, Glenn. And other than that, we will move on to other staff reports. So I'm going to begin with Fire Chief Klinger.
Thank you, Mayor, for those kind words you said. We don't have much to report. As you said, the COVID numbers are continuing to increase. There's no going inside as far as for us going to phase three anytime soon. I'm guessing it'll probably be towards the end of August, if not the first part of September, before we get to that point again. Mm-hmm. The county burn ban goes in place July 24th, so this coming Friday at noon. For the city limits, folks, it just that there's no change. It just means that the people in the county now have to comply with our rules. So other than that, that's all the department has going, and we'll be working with Mr. Merriman here soon to get that truck that they surplused moved on.
All right. Perfect. Did you want to talk about that a little bit, the fire truck, what's going on there?
We have had Fire District 10 just up east of us has approached us. They're very interested in the truck. It has a blown head gasket, so they're going to have to do some repairs, but they've got a bunch of truck mechanics up there that said that they can handle that stuff, and they're looking forward to getting that engine. It'll be almost like a brand new one for them, even though it's 23 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Thank you. So Police Chief Tucker.
All right. Just a couple things here. We've got, and actually to answer your question you had last time, Carl, I read up on the case on the graffiti at the church. We had video of somebody going up and doing it, but it wasn't good enough to make an identification on, so we're kind of at a dead end on that one, but just to let you know, I did follow up on it.
Thank you, Chief.
We have academy days for four of our baby police officers, so instead of shipping them off to COVID to get them out from underfoot, we're going to be shipping them off to the academy here real quick. We've got Harry McGahey and Kira Foster going off to the academy July 28th through November 20th. And then Cody and Ruben are going August 4th through December 1st. And then we'll have one more academy date with for our last two, Ruben and Brady. And we've since taken on Brady just came on board. We're actually going to start fast tracking Brady. He's deputy reserve from Kittitas. So we can actually start training him up and putting him in the car, and he could start being a good strong backup to the officers that we've got on the street right now. So we got light at the end of the tunnel. It's once again, it's not a train anymore. It's actually light, and we're looking forward to getting those folks working. I'm really looking forward to getting them working. Just to let everybody know, if you try to get a hold of me, I'm on 4 days on, 4 days off. When I'm on, I'm pretty easy to get on or get a hold of because I'm here for 12 hours a day. And I think I probably told you all this before, but we've got four squads of three going on. So I've got Lieutenant McElraith as two officers working with him. I have two officers working with me. Sergeant Eaton and Sergeant Sorstall each have two officers. I'm the second officer this month because we had one of our officers have military duty. So my shifts are kind of weird. My Monday this week is going to be Friday. I'm working Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Then I'll have 4 days off and then back into 4 days on. So my schedule is a little bit weird. The mayor, I think, never knows when she can find me and where. She just calls me. If there's something that comes up, I check my phone pretty regularly. And I check my email, depending on whether I'm on baby duty or not, check it pretty regularly as well. So don't hesitate to leave me a message on those days and I'm off and I'll get back to you. Two other things we got going on. On the 16th, we had a shooting at the Skagit Motel. Some may have heard about it. It sounds worse than it was. It was bad enough. Fortunately, nobody was injured. We had some sort of altercation, and I'm not going to speculate on what kind of altercation was going on at the Skagit Motel at 4:42 in the morning, but it couldn't have been good. Apparently, there was one subject arguing with another, and one of the subjects hit another one upside the head with a loaded firearm, which went off and shot a hole in the window and ended up somewhere out in the fields behind the Skagit Motel or on the roof of the pavilion next door. We have no idea. The bullet went flying and didn't hit anything else. We have officers and detectives doing some follow-up on that. Oddly enough, we're not getting a whole lot of cooperation because everybody is in the same boat that was involved, and I think they're all kind of weird friends. So we have that. And the last thing I have is this Saturday we have our Cedar Woolley Against Racism protest scheduled for O'Hammer Heritage. We have no indication whatsoever there's going to be any problems. It doesn't look like there's that many attendees. I will be there with a couple other officers, and we'll call out the troops if it looks like it's a problem, but we don't see any problem with this. Actually, most of this seems to be something we could all probably get behind. And with that, I don't have much else other than the mayor and I both got interviewed by KSVR in the last month or so. Outstanding group to work with. I can't remember the guy's name, but Ryan Walker? No, it's not Ryan Walker. Can't remember his name. It was really good to work with, and he talked about a lot of things, how the police department's handling COVID and, kind of what we're doing and what we're experiencing with all the unrest in some of the bigger cities. And I just don't want to listen to myself, but I think my interview is on attached on our Facebook page. So if you're interested, check out what we're doing. And with that, I don't really have anything else.
Madam Mayor, I have a question for Chief.
All right, go ahead.
Thanks. Chief, thanks for the update on the graffiti. Secondly, I was contacted by a longtime business owner in the Central Business District who had concerns about people accessing the roof on the 800 block of Metcalf there on the west side. There seems to be some dumpsters that are readily available and close to fire escapes and other access points, and they had concerns about people being up on the roof. So I wanted to bring that to your attention. Thank you.
Got it.
Thank you, Chief. Moving on, Director of Planning and Building, Mr. Coleman.
Good evening. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mayor. Last night we had a Planning Commission meeting. There were three public hearings at that hearing. Add those to the two public comment periods that we're having tonight. That's a lot of public hearings in 2 days. One of them was last night was the comprehensive sewer plan update that Mark Freiberger and the Public Works Department and the Sewer Department are all working on to get to the council to review in a couple of meetings from now, maybe closer to the end of August or early September. The Planning Commission also had a public hearing for a little 2.5 acre rezone request that I think I spoke to you about earlier this year when we were talking about the 2020 comprehensive plan updates. And they had a public hearing for another rezone request for the property out at the golf course that is currently zoned mixed commercial. And
I was having trouble finding.
Is currently zoned mixed commercial and is being requested to be changed to residential 5. So the public comment period has been held open for a couple of days for anybody who is having trouble getting onto the Zoom app to make any comments. And then the Planning Commission is going to review those two rezones again in the August meeting, and we'll see at that time whether or not they have any recommendations for this. So nothing's going to be coming to the council for the 2020 comp plan in August. So maybe September, possibly later than that. Aside from that, we've been pretty busy around here. I've been spending extra effort trying to get the 71-acre annexation request that the council passed a resolution approving it in concept several months ago. And I'm still working on getting that information to the Boundary Review Board. And they'll do their thing, and maybe it'll come to the council towards the end of this year. The people up there are getting interested in seeing something happen, so I'm spending extra time working on that. And then it just so happens we received another first contact for an annexation request. So this other annexation request is the more or less the Hansen, Errol Hansen and Laura Hansen's property, north of the Jones Estates area, what we call Cambridge Commons now. So it's north of Jones Road, generally to the east of Garden of Eden Road and generally west of the railroad tracks. So Ms. Hansen has requested that we start the process to possibly look at annexing her 35 acres, and there'd be 10 acres along with it that would come in. I just wanted to give you a heads up about that. Hopefully I'll have all of their information from them in time to get to you in the August 12th City Council meeting. If not, then you know, once we get the complete information packet from them, then we'll bring it to the council for you to kick around and see what you want to do with, and I'll get you a lot more information at that time, but just give you a little heads up for that. And we got plenty going on tonight, tonight's council meeting, so I think I'll leave it at that for now.
All right. Thank you. Director of Public Works, Mr. Freiberger.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. A few things going on out there in the public works world. As John mentioned, we presented on the sewer comp plan, and you'll see that probably for a first read on your end, first meeting in September, depending on review periods and those kind of things in the meantime. The wastewater treatment plant electrical improvements project, I have extended the bid close until the 30th, next Thursday. And so you'll see that at the first meeting in August, assuming we get good bids on that. We've got lots of interest. There's going to be, I would imagine, 6 to 8 bids on that, which is good news for us. The wastewater treatment plant digester aeration improvements project or replacement project bid on the 16th. The low bidder was the construction arm of the manufacturer of the equipment, which we were hoping would do well with that, but they made an error in their bid. Worked with Nikki on that and decided that we could not award, declared it non-responsive, and have awarded that to Fisher Construction of Burlington. They've worked with us on numerous other projects, and in fact, they're the general contractor on the Jameson overlay project that just started this week. So that project is under the $50,000 limit, and we bid that under the limited public works process. So we've awarded it, and we'll have the contract ready for the mayor sign as soon as they get it back to us with their insurance. That's a fast track project, and that's the other reason I didn't bring it to you for your approval. We're planning on starting that as early as August the 3rd. The SR20 West Lane widening project, the contractor is mobilizing this week, and we'll be working on hopefully the storm drain part of that project. We are filling in the ditch between the Brickyard Creek outfall and where it goes into pipe about 400 feet up the way. That'll be their first order of business. And as already mentioned, Jameson is underway. They've demoed out all of the 36 ramps and are grading those, and we'll probably start pouring concrete on that within a week. And Nathan has the paving set up for the Hauser Playfields parking lot, and that's set up to start tomorrow and Friday, weather permitting on that. The irrigation contract, which was quite a long chore to get the subcontractors on that to get their paperwork filled out, but that's done, and the work has been finished on that as well. Nathan also has some activity out at the Northern States Hospital Cemetery. We had the archaeologists out there doing some shovel work just to check, you know, for any archaeological things. They didn't find any bones, which is a good thing. But they did dig up an old Colt Woodsman pistol in one of their excavations, which is kind of interesting. And I understand they're going to offer that to the city as a some kind of artifact to have in our collection. So that'll be coming up at some point. And Nathan's also finished the prep work pretty much for the chip seal project. They've done their blade overlays to get ready for that on 5th and Waldron and Sap Road. So that's pretty much it. I'll have a presentation a little later as well on the transportation impact fee work. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, I have a question for Mr. Freiberg.
Yes.
Mark, I talked with a long-time business owner in the Central Business District, and they had comments about petunias growing in the gutters and some weeds growing in the alleyway of the 800 block of Metcalf, and they were wondering if we would be able to get some public works to get the street sweeper going through there, or do a little weed control out back.
I'll see what we can do about that, Council Member. As you know, our challenge is because of COVID-19, we have none of our extra help that we normally would employ to do those things, and so pretty challenging to do that. And our regular crew is pretty busy getting ready for these paving projects, which they really can't stop on. So, but we'll put that on the list of things to look at. So,
okay. Yeah. Well, my follow-up question then is volunteers who would be able to take care of that. Is that something we'd be able to do?
We always appreciate volunteers.
Okay, yeah. Then. Thank you very much, Mark.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Moving on to Director of Finance, Ms. Scott.
Good afternoon, Mayor. Thank you. Thank you. And I just want to say congratulations to Councilwoman Cornegay, and I'm sorry that we did not have an opportunity to work face-to-face. There's nothing really a lot to report. As finance manager, I'm doing a lot of behind the scenes. So working closely with different departments and primarily with Doug as he transitions some of his duties. So most of the big stuff, you'll probably hear from him.
Okay. Regarding the budget, starting to work on the budget, can you possibly give a guesstimate or estimate of when we're going to be engaging in that?
Yes, we're working on a budget calendar right now, so I will hopefully have those, some information maybe in the next week or so.
All right. You've done a great job, Jill. You've come along and you've worked really hard to get up to speed. There's a lot of information, especially with us going into the biennium, which is something so different than what we've done before in the past. And so, I know that you've worked a lot of hours and even at home, just getting things going and up to speed. So thank you, Jill, for doing that.
Thank you.
And Director of IT, Mr. Chambers.
So big things that we're working on are planning for the upgrade of the city firewall with all of the additional traffic, VPN traffic. We're finding that, it's adequate, but we can get better performance by upgrading that. Helping out finance with transition to Bias Cloud. And meeting tomorrow with you and Mark to go over the, and the attorney, to go over the fiber franchise agreement with the port. Glenn and I completed the Verizon Wireless transition to priority and unlimited data plans, and working on the DocuWare upgrade and planning for training for staff to use that document management system, and just assisting with public surplus where I can, and lots of other little things. lots of meetings. And that's about it.
Isn't that the truth? All right. Thank you, Bill. And City Attorney, Ms. Thompson.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. What I have to say exactly echoes what Jill had to say. I do a lot of work behind the scenes that not for public consumption, but I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. And I am certainly sorry to see Ms. Cornegay go. I was looking forward to working with her in person. But congratulations on your new endeavor. That sounds like a really fabulous opportunity.
Yeah. Thank you, Nikki. You know, you really are doing a behind the work. I mean, we behind the scenes work. We've been throwing a lot of things at you, and you know, you make it sound like you're just doing a few things. But we've really inundated you. I want people to know that. I want the council to know that she has had many projects and many leases and contracts placed before her. And Nikki, you're doing a great job getting those back to us, advising us, getting us going in the right direction, and much appreciated. Very glad that you're on board.
Well, I sure appreciate the compliment. I certainly enjoy working with you all.
Thank you. And
I just wanted to thank Nikki and Jill real quick, I guess. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you, Jermaine. And City Supervisor, Mr. Merriman.
Thank you, Mayor and Council, and good afternoon. A few things of interest that I'll share with you that I've got going through my office right now. You may know about the ball fields down by Riverfront Park. We're currently working with Skagit PUD to take ownership of the property. We were approached by Mr. George Sadu some time back to see of our interest in that. I do have a meeting tomorrow to do some title work on that transfer, and that should, once that's done, we should have that ready to go, and we'll be bringing it for council's attention shortly. Moving to the library project, as of our meeting Tuesday, we're running about 85 to 86% complete, at least for the calendar. We're running about 65% of the budget right now. And those are both on track. So far we can say we're on time and under budget, except for the little bit of time with COVID and the snow. That's got us back several days. So our schedule we're looking at right now, our substantial completion will be right around end of September, first part of October. It'll take about 30 days to wrap up the project and close it out and do that. And then the library will start their move in and getting everything set up inside. So we don't have an official opening date yet, but we're targeting that last part of October, maybe first part of November to have the doors open. If you go by there, some of the things you'll see going on this week is, I noticed it on the east side of the building. We're putting cedar siding on the library building now. So it's actually starting to look like that finished product we saw in those conceptual drawings. We have some of the big windows going in, so it's starting to look pretty good. And I think that's going to be a pretty awesome building once we're done. So Jill mentioned a little bit about our budget. She has been working on our budget calendar. There's some tricks to that this time because we're doing the two-year budget now instead of the one-year budget. But we'll have those dates lined up as well as the dates for our lodging tax grant program. On our consent agenda tonight, you passed the 45-day clock. And that means we'll start the process, and it has to be 45 days before you as a city council can take action on what we do for that grant program next year. So thank you for getting that clock ticking and getting that part going. The third part of these three pieces that go with budget is property tax. And we will have to be having those discussions probably in about another month or so and bringing that forward for a council to consider. So lots of things going on. Other than that, there are day-to-day things that come through my office. I have a couple of code enforcement type items we're working on right now, but that's it for my report today.
All right. Thank you, Doug. Okay, moving on to the council members. So Councilwoman Brenda Kinzler, do you have a report tonight?
No, Madam Mayor, I don't have anything tonight.
All right, thank you. Councilwoman Jermaine Cornegay.
Hi, Mayor. I just wanted to thank everyone for the congrats. And of course, like I said, I'm going to be around. Also, I wanted to thank Bill. This is my first time actually ever using my iPad for one of the Zoom meetings. He finally updated it. I finally found the time to take it in. So thank you. It's working really nice, as you can see. And so that's it, actually. And actually, I did hear a lot of sirens over the 4th of July weekend. I know I wasn't on the last meeting, but I was thinking about you guys, the fire department and the police department, the entire time. Oh, yeah. But thank you, guys. That's it.
All right. Thank you. Councilman Brendan McGoffin.
Hi, Madam Mayor. No report tonight. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Councilman Chuck Owen.
Yeah, I have a couple of things. I want to congratulate my buddy that's sitting next to me, Jermaine. I'm really happy for you, and I'll miss you. I don't know that you'll miss me, because that's probably a kind of a thorn in your side. I didn't always agree with you, but that's the way the council goes. But I'm really, really happy for you, and we will miss
you. Thank you.
And I want to thank the police department. They've really been on the ball. Everywhere I go, I run into an officer. So the crew is kind of sparse, but they cover a lot of territory. So we're very, very fortunate to have them. And actually, the whole city crew is just great. We're happy to, and very blessed to have Doug. And I think he's very capable of guiding this city in the right direction. And of course, our lovely mayor. I'm proud of her too. So, all the council, we have a good crew in the city, and I appreciate every one of them. And good luck to you, Jermaine.
Thank you, Chuck. I'm going to miss you too, believe it or not.
Thank you, Chuck. Councilman Glenn Allen.
Can you hear me, Mayor?
I sure can.
Oh, okay, well, I'm on my home phone.
Well, it works.
And everything is echoing. I've been able to see all your happy faces. So, anyway, congratulations, Jermaine.
Thank you.
Your computers are about this far behind. So anyway, I think the city's doing a great job. So anyway, thank you, Madam Mayor, for all you're doing too.
Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it. Councilman Jared Couch.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a couple of quick comments. I want to echo what everybody said. You know, congratulations to Jermaine. I am concerned that hopefully we find somebody to fill your shoes, especially because I reside in your ward, and I appreciate everything that you've done over the years for this community. And I know we'll still see you. So, and I also want to say I wish we could get Chief Klinger to hang around a little longer, because he's kind of a mainstay in Cedar Woolley. But I feel confident in the fact that he's prepared Chief Wagner to take over and lead our first class department in the city. So, Mayor, that's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Jared. Councilman Carl DeYoung.
Thank you, Mayor. Councilmember Cornegay, great job on all your efforts that led to your appointment at this Skagit PUD, and you'll do a great job there.
Thank you.
Down at Riverfront Park, we see a lot of activity. We see the RV park's going to be closed for a little bit, and also some installations. So I just think it's important that we know that the park's still open and people can go down and enjoy the that jewel of a park we have down by the river. Additionally, working really hard contacting our federal delegations about the upcoming phase four bills that are important beyond the Paycheck Protection Program that now is extended through August, so that's going to be helpful. We have seen in the paper of businesses, longtime businesses closing in our area. I was really shocked to read what was happening with Connor. So I think it's important that we continue to look and shepherd ideas like the prioritized paycheck protection program that is being considered, and especially for local communities, the Recharge and Empower Local Innovations and Entrepreneurs Fund, or the Relief for Main Street, as it's called. And again, these will be funding block grants that will be distributed out to help our businesses here in Cedar Woolley. And brought up the concerns of a longtime business person in the Central Business District. So it's good to see that people are caring about our town and want to present it in the most positive light. Also, Chief Tucker, I appreciated the emphasis patrol on certain stop signs throughout town. And it's good to see folks getting out there, partnered up and learning how to do things in the way that you've trained folks here in Cedar Woods. So again, thank you so much. That's my report, Madam Mayor.
All right, thank you. Mentioning the grants that brought to mind, I forgot to mention that the $50,000 grant that we had put out there to local businesses, up to $10,000 for different businesses in town. We had 25 applications. Extending it a week was a great thing. I'm glad that I made that call. 25, we had two that we had to disqualify, one because they were out of city and the other because they had more than 10 employees. But I'm looking forward to hearing what the board that has been set up by EDASC, who they have selected, and looking forward to hearing about that. And I will certainly pass that along as I receive that information. And business is closing. I gave a call to Ramon on Sunday. We had a great conversation, talked about what was happening. He's very upbeat, very hopeful. But it was the Tulip Festival cancellation that just really did a number on the businesses there and was prime reason why most of them, there's 9 that are closing, but most of them that are closing, that's a reason why, is because the Tulip Festival was canceled due to COVID. So quite impactful. As far as the RV park, the RV park down at Riverfront Park is going to be closed. And I want to remind everybody that we still have an RV park. It's over at Bingham Park. And so people can stay there. So we have limited slots there, but still, if you have a RV or know somebody's coming in with an RV, then they can actually stay there. And I think it's up to 3 nights. So just a reminder regarding that. Okay, moving on. Thank you, everybody, for your reports. Moving on, public comment. I did not receive any information regarding public comment. It did not come in. Bill, do we have anybody on the line other than our staff who maybe?
I didn't see anyone. I will double check again, Mayor.
Okay. I guess just as protocol, I'll put it out there. It is right now 4:50. And so I'll open it up for public comment. If anybody out there has public comment, you know, give your name, address, limited to 3 minutes. So do you see any takers?
Don't see anything.
And I'm not hearing anything. So at 4:50, I'll close public comment and we'll move in, jump in right into the public hearings. We have 3 public hearings tonight. And so what I'm going to do is I'll open them up, ask for public hearing, I'll close them up, and then we'll move right into whatever that article of business is that we're going to be discussing. And so I'll be doing this 3 times. So the first, moving on, I'm going to, is it 4:51? Yes, it is. It's 4:51. So I am at this time opening it up for public hearing. This will be for the confirmation of moratorium on accessory dwelling units, the ADU applications. Is there anybody who would like to speak to this? Hearing none, thank you. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Hearing none, I will close public hearing and I will turn this over to John Coleman.
Good evening again, Council and Mayor. This is a procedural item related to the moratorium that the emergency moratorium that the council put into place in June. Excuse me. So I'd just like to point out that this topic is part of the accessory dwelling unit discussion, and then we're going to have a separate public hearing after this on the actual ADU fees topic that we've been working on. So the first topic is just a procedural issue to have the council confirm whether or not they still want to continue the moratorium that they put into place. This is a required step by the state. So when you put an emergency moratorium into place, you bypass any public comment period. So you're required to then have a public comment period, and then depending on the comments you receive, then you can determine whether or not you want to continue the moratorium. Staff recommends that we continue the moratorium because we haven't really even gotten into the work that we're trying to achieve by putting the moratorium into place. As part of the moratorium, we drafted a work plan to say what steps we're going to take to try to finish the ADU fee work and when we're going to get that done by. So if you've looked at the ordinance, continuation ordinance, which is page 35 of your, the packet starts on page 35 of your memo, and then the ordinance itself is on page 37. It says that the work plan for this is to have a public hearing tonight, July 22nd, and then the council can discuss it. And then on August 12th, there's possible action by the city council. So at this time, barring any questions, we're looking for a motion to adopt this ordinance ratifying and confirming the emergency moratorium, and the recommended language is on page 35 of your packet.
Right. It is on page 35, and this would be ordinance 1958-20 if the council is choosing to move forward.
Madam Mayor, Councilmember DeYoung, I put forward ordinance number 1958-20, an ordinance ratifying and confirming ordinance 1957-20, adopted June 24th, 2020, proclaiming an emergency in place of a moratorium on the processing or accepting of applications, permits, or licensing and establishing for an accessory dwelling units.
Second. Madam Mayor.
Yes.
Wow.
Weird.
So I'll take it over from here, Glenn. So I have.
Okay. I got the. I'm on a poll. I will second that motion.
All right. That's what I was making that assumption. So we have a motion by Councilman DeYoung, seconded by Councilman Allen to move forward with ordinance 1958-20. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye. This is time, Glenn.
Okay. Opposed? All right, that was quick. Motion carries. All right. Once again, I'm going to be, it is at this time, 4:56, I'm going to be opening up the public hearing for the fees for accessory dwelling units. This is our second reading. Is there anyone who would like to make public comment regarding that? Is there anybody who's come on? Okay, hearing none at 4:56, I am going to close the public hearing, and I'm going to turn this once again over to John.
Okay, so now that we've got a moratorium in place and we're all got our bookkeeping done, now we can get back to work on working on our ADU fees. And I'd also like, so we're having a public hearing tonight, and
This is the, you know, the one required public hearing that the council needs to have to make any changes that didn't go to the Planning Commission. Now on page 40 of your packet is the memo, and what I tried to do is give some background into what other jurisdictions are doing, and most jurisdictions, every jurisdiction charges fees differently, so there's no real roadmap forward. We get to do it however we like, and in that packet I also did list what other jurisdictions are including their fees. I did a sampling that started with some work that other people did. Those start on page 49 of your packet, and it just lists, I limited it to park, sewer, and traffic impact fees. And then at the end of that list on page 50, thank you, Bill, there's Burlington, Anacortes, and Mount Vernon, which are obviously the three local jurisdictions that have ADUs. Interestingly enough, all three of the local jurisdictions have chosen to not have any fees for ADUs, for park, traffic, or sewer. That's just a little background information. I think the idea of having ADUs is to have low-cost, affordable housing that's safe. And when I think cities are concerned that if they charge full impact fees for an accessory dwelling unit, you know, a typical property owner isn't going to be able to, you know, build a small ADU in their backyard or convert their garage into an accessory dwelling unit, when those impact fees alone would add up to $12,402. And that I outlined on page 40 of the packet, the amount that one would pay if they were to want to build an ADU. And that doesn't include, you know, the building permit fee and the cost of construction. So we also received, just since this hearing has started, well, back at a little after 4 o'clock since this meeting started, received a comment from the Department of Commerce. And it's just I'll get this to you later. Right now, I just received it, so it's, I haven't been able to forward it to you, but they wanted us to mention it in the public hearing, that they encourage low impact fees, no impact fees for ADUs, for what it's worth, the Department of Commerce has some comments, some recommendations. And beyond that, what we tried to do as staff is, you know, look at what the other jurisdictions did and what costs are. We talked about this in the past. The way we came up with our proposed traffic impact fees is to use two different size ADUs, charge 30% of a standard traffic impact fee for a smaller ADU, and charge 61% of a standard impact fee for a larger ADU, which would be somewhere, which would be between 450 and 800 square feet. Similarly, we've recommended the same park impact fee, a 30% based on the size of the ADU. And again, for sewer connection fees, staff has recommended 30% for a small ADU and 61% for a larger ADU. We're not able to adopt anything at this time. We have to wait. We submitted comments to the Department of Commerce. There's a comment period on that, and so we're waiting for their review on that. I requested be a expedited review, which would enable council to actually make an action on August 12th. I have not heard back whether or not they've granted us that expedited review period. We may have to wait until later in September to pass something, But if we do get the expedited review, then we can take action on August. But no action tonight.
Okay.
I did include the ordinance with this, so council can see what the changes would look like. I'd like to point out that, you know, we're talking about three different fee structures, three different fees, one for parking fee, for transportation impact fee, and one for sewer connections. The park impact fee is in municipal code under chapter 50, so we can make those changes there. The mineral facilities charge, which is a sewer connection, is under the city ruling municipal code under chapter 1316, so we're able to make those changes to that text. The transportation fee is actually under the transportation impact fee schedule, which is a separate living document that gets updated regularly. And it just so happens that the Public Works Department and Mark Freiberger are working on updates to that transportation impact fee update. Simultaneously process. Mark and I have been working closely on this, trying to bring everything to the council at once. And the point of this is any ordinance we're distracted by our dog. Any ordinance, any change to the traffic impact would be under the ordinance that we're talking about.
John, can I interrupt just a minute here? So could everybody please mute your mic so that we don't have background and John isn't having to have to fight over a dog barking and something else happening?
Life in Cedar Woolley.
If everybody could mute their mic, that'd be great. Thank you. Go ahead, John.
Okay. So that pretty much covers it. I was just trying to cover some of the technical details. The ordinance that I presented would change the park impact fee and the sewer connection fee, and then a separate ordinance under a different agenda item that Mark's working on is going to address the traffic impact fee. But I wanted to discuss the fees themselves now and see if the council had any, if they're, you know, in theory interested in the impact fees that we've presented, then we can continue to move on with numbers that are presented both in this ordinance and the ordinance that Mark's going to talk about at the next agenda issue. I'd like to get some sort of motion or just tacit approval from the council to say that we're on the right track. So when, because we're trying to coordinate two different projects here that address the fees. But if the council is not interested in these figures as presented in this memo, then we should definitely talk about that further and see if we can get closer to a position that the council is willing to support. That's all I have.
Okay. So are there comments or some direction that any council member would like to offer Mr. Coleman at this time?
Madam Mayor?
Yes, Councilman DeYoung.
Yeah, this is Councilmember DeYoung. So I just, question, if we're looking at a unit at 450 square feet or less, we're looking at a total to the owner of $3,720.60. And if it's above that, it's roughly double that. Is that kind of where we're headed?
I'll trust your math. I didn't add the numbers up quite yet.
Okay.
But it would be roughly double that. Yeah.
Okay. I got on some beans and, you know, did some abacus. But all right. So that's good. And in general, if we're just having the discussion, I don't mind an ombudsman bill of wrapping that all together. I think it makes good sense to consider that at one time.
All right. Thank you, Councilman DeYoung. Anyone else?
I have a question. So those fees go directly to those causes, right? Like those fees would go directly to traffic and, I mean, directly there. where, okay.
That's a good point. I can explain that very briefly. Traffic impact fees are used for future projects, traffic projects that are related to growth in the city. Traffic impact fees, no impact fees, may be used to address deficiencies, but they can be used to address improvements that are reasonably caused by new development. So, and that goes for the park impact fee. So we couldn't say, one of our parks has old equipment in it and we need to update that. You can't use it for that, but you can use it for, developing raw land into a new park or expanding a park because, you have more citizens in the town now, so you need more park space. I'll let Mark how the sewer connection fees are applied, though, if Mark could possibly take that task on, because sewer connection fees aren't impact fees. They're accounted for differently.
Yeah, connection fees for sewer are just that, but they are also limited in use. We basically use those mainly for expansions of our system. So similar to what John mentioned on the other fees with those.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Madam Mayor.
Yes, Councilman DeYoung.
Yeah, Councilmember DeYoung, just following up. So did you want to go over why school impact fees aren't as part of this? That's usually something that comes up in the public mind as well.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I can address that. So school impact fees are based on the school's comprehensive plan, their capital facilities plan that they adopt every 4 or 5 years or so. And so we just collect them for the school district. I did talk to the school district about whether or not they what they want to do about collecting ADU impact fees, if anything. And they said that their capital facility plan hasn't studied them. It doesn't address them. And what they would like to do is just not collect school impact fees. But they may study they may study ADUs in their next capital facility round.
Right. Thank you, John.
Okay. So, John, you had made the comment that you would like for us to push this forward to the next council meeting or beyond, or because right now you're just looking for direction still, correct?
Yeah, if the numbers that we've presented are, I'm not asking for a decision, but if it looks like this is reasonable and this is the direction that the council would like to go, staff will present these at the next council agenda with the idea that council would have the option to adopt them. But if these numbers don't look any good to the council, we'll need to go back to the drawing board a little bit. So, okay. If these numbers look good, we'll just continue to bring these numbers to the council for consideration at the next meeting.
Okay. This is so, Council Member Cornegay, and actually those numbers, sorry, that's my dog. Those numbers look good to me. I mean, it's a lot of work. Sorry about the dog.
All right. Is anybody opposed or would like John to readdress what the fees are? Or can he bring this back at the next council meeting for a motion?
Madam Mayor.
Councilman DeYoung.
Thank you, Councilmember DeYoung here. I realize third time speaking on the issue. It's just so very important. Brought it up over a year and a half ago. And it's because we saw what was happening in our state capital, and it was going to be one size fits all throughout the state, and wanted to make sure we were able to take a shot at it and do it the Cedar Woolley way. And really, really, again, want to thank the Planning Commission for all their hard work over all those months, doing the hearings, John and staff just going through the grist and gristle, the details of this and all the research they did of the municipalities throughout the state of Washington to find data so it could be synthesized and put into a format that we could look at here in Cedar Woolley. Because we know that a cookie cutter form generally doesn't work for municipalities the size of ours. Additionally, I'm curious about the fees because this was with the intent of expanding the inventory of housing in Cedar Woolley in a way that could be absorbed kind of infill, I think is the term, with the accessory dwelling units, either with an attic apartment, basement apartment, or another secondary building on their property, which would be a great income property for someone coming to, an attractive proposition for someone coming to Cedar Woolley to buy a home. They would automatically be able to have an income property in which to the city's benefit, the primary owner would then be there as the landlord and we wouldn't have absent landlords. And it gives us a more better sense of oversight of rental properties. I am curious when I see Burlington, Anacortes, and Mount Vernon, the cities also within Skagit County here, really going hard to incentivize accessory dwelling units by making those fees exempt. And yes, we're looking at, you know, $3,200 or $7,400, but it's still something that is, we see that Burlington, Anacortes, and Mount Vernon have it done as well. Just trying to get some data and some feedback on that. And also, John, the methodology of choosing 0.61 and 0.3 is the factor in that two-tiered system. Thank you.
All right. Well, if there are no other comments, we will close this item and move on to the next item on our agenda. So, once again, it is 5:15, so I am going to, John, before we move on, did you get what you needed?
Yeah, thank you. I think I understand what the council is leaning towards. Thanks.
Okay. All right. So at 5:15, I'm going to, at this time, open up the public hearing for the proposed 2020 transportation impact fee update. Is there anyone who would like to make comment at this time? Okay, hearing none at 5:15, I will close the public hearing and I will turn this over to you, Mr. Freiberger. Mark.
Thank you, Mayor. John, I think we have a slide show to go along with this. If you have that. Thank you, that's it. Okay, so next page, please. So this presentation I have for you tonight is actually a follow-up on the May 6th, 2020 council work session. I brought this to you for a first look at that and to make sure to take the temperature and make sure this would be something we could go forward with, similar to what John has done tonight with the ADUs. And as you know, we have a transportation impact fee ordinance in our code that allows us to charge impact fees for new development. The impact fees are used strictly for growth that the city experiences as a part of development. It's directly related to number of vehicle trips that we estimate will be generated by various size units. We have a base fee for single family residents, and then a separate fee for another zone outside of the central business district, just two zones. You might remember that before 2016, we had 13 zones we were dealing with, and we simplified this down to two at that time, which is working really well for us. The projects that this supports are a project list that's found in the transportation impact fee attachment prepared by Transportation Solutions. That list is the same basic project list we have in our transportation, our TIP that you adopted back in July, which has now been submitted to the state. It concentrates specifically on the Jones-John Liner Trail Road Corridor projects. That's kind of the main focus for this next period of time. But there are additional projects that have been identified throughout the area as well. Next slide, please. Here you'll see down at the bottom a breakdown of what the existing zone fees are for downtown and for other. The existing fee in downtown is $1,341. The proposed increase is $1,562. It's about a 16.5% increase. And you have a similar size increase proposed for all the other areas. Bill, if you'd go to the next slide for a second, please, and then we'll go back. In terms of the areas involved, in green, you see the central business district area, downtown basically, roughly extending from Highway 20 and Highway 9 east and south down to about a block and a half south of State Street. And then everything else is at the slightly higher rate. And the justification for that goes back to the 2016 impact fee update, where council was interested in giving a bit of a break to encourage additional development within the central business district itself. And if you would go back again one more time to the previous one. A couple of changes from the previous list. I have removed one project. It was the Portobello extension. That would still be an impact fee eligible project, but we do expect that the developer will build that. It's not a project we would fund and do as a city project. There would be no real reason for us to do that, although once it's built, it's going to be considered an arterial. And so we've removed it for calculation purposes, and that actually kept the fees down somewhat because that's a fairly large project. But it does still recognize the project as being a future arterial. I mentioned TSI prepared this. TSI also did our 2016 impact fee update, and they also prepared the EIS for the Swift Center and our 2016 comprehensive plan adjustment for the transportation side. TSI's memorandum is attached to the council packet memo, and it will become attachment A of the ordinance that's also attached, which amends Sewell Woolley MIS code 1560.050 and 060. It lives as a separate document from the ordinance itself. It's referenced in the code, and then the document lives over in the finance department for anyone to peruse if they choose to do so. Next slide, please. And then you can go one more. Oops, there we go. As with John's work on the ADUs, page 7 of the TSI memo does a comparison with other agencies in the area. If you average the two zones we have at $27.85 per peak hour trip, we'll be slightly over Burlington's $26.65 and Anacortes's $27.31, but under Mount Vernon's current $5,100. Fee per single family residence. And you can expect the other agencies are in the process of of editing their fees or amending them on a yearly basis as well. The projects that are in the project list, and you've heard me talk about this before, we're assuming 75% grant to fund those, and then that would require a 25% local match. That's a primary purpose for the impact fee ordinance in the first place, is to provide those funds to allow us to build these projects. this particular project list was done the way it was updated to include the new estimates we received with the scoping study for the Jones John Liner Road project, corridor project that we received in January. We actually held off. We are allowed to update the transportation impact fee on an annual basis using a construction cost index. We have chosen not to do that since 2016 because we knew that we were going to be doing this major update once we got the corridor study completed, and that's basically what generated us bringing this forward to you at this time. And that last bullet there shows that the grant funding would produce somewhere, impact fee funding would fund new growth projects. We also have other projects that are basically overlays and that kind of stuff that are would have to be funded separately from that with our own revenues. That amounts to about $401,000 per year. And as you've heard me say a number of times, we had been using our transportation benefit district funds, which generate about $200,000 a year, to do these maintenance type projects. And we haven't heard from the Supreme Court that I know yet. I haven't checked in the last day or two, but that's on their agenda to move on that. We're expecting that it will probably go away, and we will have to come up with another way of handling that type of maintenance projects. And that's generally been our overlay projects and our chip seals and things like that that we do on the arterial side of our streets. We fund the other projects we do on our local streets through our normal 103 funding with sales tax, gasoline tax. Next slide, please. And as John just presented to you, we have included within the new impact fee appendix the classifications for ADUs. So it'll be important to coordinate what we do with this particular ordinance with what the action is that council takes on the ADU fees in general. If you choose to fund that at what's recommended right now, it is at the 61% for the greater than 450 square foot up to 800. And below 450 square feet, it's at the 30% level. And you saw the numbers a little earlier in John's presentation. And we did one final thing, and John can speak to this a little bit more if he chooses to. We also updated the language to define how planned residential units, PRDs, are calculated, the fees for those are calculated. There was a little uncertainty in the old version of this, basically because we had referred specifically to the Institute of Traffic Engineers guidelines for calculating these things, and they gave a definition that was unclear on how that related to our particular way of doing things here in Cedro Woolley. So that's corrected in the language in this version. And again, tonight is just a first reading, and we've held the public hearing. If you choose to move forward, we would request your action at the August 12th council meeting. And I'd be glad to take any questions if you have any for this.
Okay. Does council have questions? That was great presentation, Mark. Very clear and concise. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
So if there are no questions, we will be seeing this again at the next council meeting. Okay. Looking at our schedule, okay, that looks like that is it. If there is nothing for the good of the order, then I am going to move to adjourn. Good. So we are adjourned. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.